Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. As we approach what is commonly called Easter Sunday, and I think much better defined as Resurrection Day, there are certain events or celebrations that we as Christians observe in connection with the suffering, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today on Basic Gospel, we will observe one of those most meaningful traditions. And here to explain what we're talking about is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I know many people out there during this Holy Week, during this celebration of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, will be participating in Lord's Supper services. So they'll partake of the bread, they'll partake of the cup, and, you know, kind of go about their way. And so we wanted today to really talk about what the Lord's Supper is. Over the last several years, and this is a message that's been weighing heavy on my heart for a long time. Over the past several years, Gina and I have visited a number of churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We've participated in the Lord's Supper in quite a number of those, and we've come away just feeling kind of empty, like we haven't gotten the full benefit and the full weight of what this ceremony, this celebration is all about. So this is something that has been kind of brewing inside of me, and today we really want to lay out the instructions for the Lord's Supper. What does it mean to participate in the Lord's Supper? How are we to participate in the Lord's Supper? And the instructions come to us from the Apostle Paul, and they're written for us in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. And that's where we're going to spend our time today, just working through that passage. It starts in verse 17 of chapter 11, and this is the only place in the New Testament that we can find the real instructions on how to carry out the Lord's Supper. And I think when we work through these, you're going to be surprised, and you're going to want to celebrate the Lord's Supper in this way from this point forward. And it really is a celebration, isn't it, Richard?
Sure supposed to be.
Yes.
And why wouldn't it be?
Yes, absolutely. So let's dive in. It says in verse 17, "But in the following instructions I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse." So Paul starts out not on a positive note.
Yeah.
He's saying, hey, what's come to my ears is concerning the way you're participating in the Lord's Supper is not good. You are coming together, and that's the first thing about the Lord's Supper. It's the body of Christ coming together to celebrate the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, they got the first part right. They were coming together, but they were not celebrating Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. As a matter of fact, what they were doing was not to their benefit, but it was causing more harm than good. So Paul is going to give some instructions on what they're supposed to do. And he says, "For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized." So within that body of Christ, there were divisions among them. And that's what the entire book of 1 Corinthians is all about. It is trying to correct those divisions and bring them back to a functioning body where there's diversity, but within that diversity is unity. So there were divisions among them. Well, that's not a celebration of the Lord's Supper. That's a celebration of your own individual freedoms. You're putting those up above the reality of this thing called the body of Christ. So there were divisions among them, and that was the first mistake that they made. So it was not the Lord's Supper that they were taking, and that's what he says in verse 20, "When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. You are pretending it to be the Lord's Supper, but it's not the Lord's Supper at all." And here's why. It says, "For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say? Shall I commend you for this? No, I will not.
So that's actually in the Bible.
That's exactly right. So they weren't waiting for each other. No. So there was one group, the rich, and that's what we're going to find out, the haves. They were basically bringing food to this dinner, to this celebration, and they weren't waiting for the rest of the group to get there. They went ahead and ate all of the food and drank up all of the wine. So they were doing their thing, didn't care about anyone else, didn't care about those who were actually poor and who were counting on this meal as a way to be fed. I mean, they were looking forward to this Lord's Supper because it meant they got to eat. They were struggling. They didn't have the funds. They didn't have the means to eat on a regular basis. So this was a very important meal. So the rich went ahead, ate the food, and drank the wine. The rich despised the church. So in their actions, they were despising the body of Christ that God had put together in saving individuals by grace through faith in Jesus and then adding them to the body of Christ. And in so doing, they were humiliating the poor. I mean, they were totally trampling all over the poor among them within that body. And what did that mean for the poor? That they went hungry. Yeah. They were going there in order to eat along with everybody else. And when they got there, all the food was gone, all the drink was gone. They remained hungry. So did Paul commend them for this? Absolutely not. He said, I will not commend you. Why? Because you are not taking the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. And that's what we're going to talk about next.
Well, this is a special edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us as we consider the elements and the underlying meaning of what Christians refer to as the Lord's Supper and commonly referred to as communion as well. We hope that what you're hearing and seeing, if you're joining us on the video stream on Facebook and YouTube, is a blessing to you as we consider this Resurrection Day weekend. Let us remind you, friends, also, that this good news of the gospel is brought to you only because of the ongoing loving support and prayers of our listeners, especially as we contemplate this, the magnitude of what Jesus has done for us and his death, burial, and resurrection. We can gladly rejoice and give back. Let's keep the good news coming so others can hear, believe, and live in him daily. Join us, if you can, by making a special Resurrection Day gift to assist Basic Gospel in carrying forth the message of God's love and grace and life in Jesus. There's no better time, friends, to do this. And to make your gift, please visit basicgospel.net, or you can phone 844-322-2742. Again, that number, the usual number, 844-322-2742, or again, basicgospel.net. Now let's get back to this excellent study.
Well, thank you, Bob. So Paul is giving instructions to the people in Corinth about how to participate in the Lord's Supper. They were abusing it. They were misusing it. They were turning it into something other than the Lord's Supper. They were making a mockery of the body of Christ. So the manner in which they were handling this, Paul calls an unworthy manner. And that's what we're going to talk about in this next section. Whoever, and this is verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. So he was chastising them on the way in which they were taking the Lord's Supper. He was never saying to them that you are unworthy. And because you're unworthy, you should not participate in the Lord's Supper. And many people go to church and they're fearful because they don't think themselves as being worthy. Well, that's not what this passage is teaching at all. He is coming down on them for the manner in which they are taking it. They were taking it in an unworthy manner. So he says, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So there's a lot of scary language in that. Judgment, condemnation, discipline, chastisement. Richard, kind of walk us through some of those words and help us get a better feel of what Paul is actually communicating to us. And I think once you hear this explanation, you're not going to fear this judgment. You're going to welcome it for what it really is. So what do these words mean when it says that we should judge ourselves, examine ourselves, we should discern the body, the judgment from the Lord? What in the world is he talking about in all of those words?
Well, I can tell you that even my own dad, I never knew him to celebrate the Lord's Supper because he always said, oh, I'm not worthy.
Yes.
I can't do this. I'm judging my, I don't want to die. You know, and I used to scratch my head over that, you know, cause why not? I came to find out, and these words can be scary, but they don't need to be scary. When we see the word judgment or examine, we always jump to the conclusion that somebody's about to drop the hammer. And that's not what it's about at all. Notice that he's painting a contrast here. He's painting a contrast between what they were doing and what Jesus himself did when he introduced that Lord's Supper. So think about what John described in his gospel while you're reading this story and say the two don't match, what's going on. So this word for examine is a very simple word. It simply means check yourself. Take a look in the mirror and say, what am I doing here? Is my attitude correct? Do I recognize my brothers and sisters in Christ? It's something we do all the time. If we're getting ready for a business presentation, before we go in, we stop, we make sure we've got our notes arranged, we know that we're talking about, we put the judgment away and talk about a specific issue that needs to be resolved. We do this kind of stuff all the time. But somehow, when it gets tied into the church, we think, oh, man, if I'm going to examine myself, I'd better go back. I still don't know that I've gotten forgiveness for that sin when I was
right.
five.
So when we examine ourselves, we're bringing up every single sin that we've ever committed. And we're trying to make sure that all of those sins have been properly confessed and that we have been cleansed before we take that. And that's not what this word is all about at all.
Not at all. It's just check your attitude.
Yes.
What are you bringing to the table? Literally, what are you bringing, both in yourself and in context with other people? So it's a very simple word. It doesn't have to be scary at all.
No,
doesn't have to. And then the word judgment occurs many times here. And there are three or four different words that are used, and I won't get into all of that, but it's a simple word as well. In the first case, here in verse 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself, that judgment is judgment received from someone else. Someone
yes.
looks at what you're doing and says, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's not right. That's not honoring what this event is all about.
Yes.
You're not properly discerning the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. You've missed it. Missed it just completely.
Yeah, and it's because I have treated the body as somewhat less than me.
Yes.
Now, the body's going to turn around and say, no, that's not right. So that is a judgment within the church. Within the people who are doing all this stuff, I've got to hustle. We're almost out of time, man. The other judgments have to do with considering your ways again, and then there's this one word for judgment that Paul contrasts at the end. If we judged ourselves, that's another form of that word examine, then we would not be judged by the body. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, and that's a contrast that he points out. The body wants to take your head off.
Right.
Jesus wants to discipline you and teach you how to do this correctly. Again, there's no fear here because there's no condemnation.
Right.
It's been dealt with once and for all at the cross, so don't think of condemnation as God coming to get you, but as your brothers and sisters in Christ just scratching their heads and saying, what are you thinking?
Yes, yes. So we need to examine ourselves to discern correctly the body of Christ, that we are recognizing that this celebration is a celebration of the body and the blood of Jesus, and the fact that we get to participate in it by grace through faith in Jesus, and that we all stand together as one in him. Mm-hmm. So if you've discerned that the Lord's Supper is all about that, you've judged it correctly, and so you're going to participate in a proper, worthy manner. And so with that, no judgment is going to come.
Correct.
But here, God had to intervene and judge them and discipline them.
Yes.
This whole passage is the discipline of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you're saying, how does God discipline? Well, for those folks in Corinth, he had Paul pen a letter, and he said, you're doing this wrong, and if you'll follow these instructions, you'll be able to do it correctly.
Yeah. When the whole purpose of church is to grow closer together, and what they were doing was driving wedges between everyone, something's got to change.
Right.
And God made sure that it did.
Right. So Paul had already set this up in chapter 10, and he asked the question about the Lord's Supper, and he says the cup of blessing, for example, in verse 16 of chapter 10, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just a common meal. This isn't just coming together for a potluck. This is participation in the blood of Christ. Concerning the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? So if we would judge correctly about those two questions, then everything would just fall into place. So with that, he gives, the fact that all of this is the discipline of the Lord. We shouldn't shy away from it. Why? Because God disciplines those that he loves. He jumps in with his children, corrects them, trains them in righteousness. That's what discipline is all about, so that we can align ourselves with divine truth. God does that because he loves us. If he didn't do that, it would mean we were illegitimate and that we would be condemned with the rest of the world. But the fact that he loves us so much, he wants to instruct us, he wants to train us in righteousness. We need to consider that a good thing. We need to consider that an assurance of his love, that absolutely nothing, not even the fact that these Corinthians were taking the Lord's Supper in such a vile way, separated them from the love of God. God still loved them, and he loved them so much, he disciplined them.
Yep.
So what was Paul's answer to all of this? Wait on one another. That's how you take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. You wait on one another, and if you're hungry, eat at home. Two simple conclusions. Wait on one another, and if you are hungry, eat at home.
Yeah. Well, friends, we're glad that you've joined us for this special edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we hope the illustrations you're about to see and the explanations you've heard so far of this Lord's Supper are a blessing to you. So, well, guys, let's just keep on going.
Yes, indeed. So what does it mean to participate in the Lord's Supper? Well, it is a participation in the body of Christ. It is a participation in the blood of Christ. So Paul said this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So why are we doing this? Why are we participating? We are doing so in remembrance of Jesus. Now, there's too many churches out there that make it about us, that we're remembering our sins, we're remembering our faults, we're remembering our shortcomings, but we're not remembering Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't about you, folks. This is about Jesus Christ, the fact that he put his body on a cross and it was broken for you, and it's about you becoming a part of that body. So when Jesus would have taken the bread, and it's not going to look like this, what he brought, it was going to be a flat, unleavened bread, but this is just for illustration purposes. He would have taken this, and he would have said, "This is singular in form, and this one whole piece of bread represents my body." And so when Jesus was here among us physically, he was housed in a body. We called him Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
People could see him. They could touch him. They beheld him. They knew who he was. So the body of Christ was in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, and he broke that body. And when we participate in this together, we take a little piece of this off, and then we pass it to the next person, and they take a little piece off, and then they pass it to the next person. And then when it's all passed around, this singular loaf is gone. It disappears. And then we take of the bread together, and it disappears, and it takes on a whole new form. What was once the body of Christ in singular form has now taken a new form called the body of Christ, and we are all joint members.
Yeah.
So when we have participated in the Lord's Supper before, when we have done it at church services, at conferences, we ask people to pass the bread with this saying, we belong to Christ and we belong to one another. That's what it means to participate in the body of Christ. And so if some are eating up all the bread and drinking up all the wine before others get there, they are missing the picture that they belong to Christ, that they belong to one another. So when you participate in the Lord's Supper at some point this weekend, and I hope you do enjoy Yes. one of those services, as the bread is being passed around, think of it in terms of you being added to the body. And as you remember that day when you came to Jesus Christ, be grateful for what he did in saving you by grace through faith in Jesus. And then look around that room, and as others participate in the bread, as they take and eat of the bread, think of the day that they came to Christ and the fact that because you're in Christ, they're in Christ, you now belong one to another. That's what this body is all about. That's what this bread is all about. And then after he passed the bread, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And that is significant. This cup isn't just any cup. This is the cup of the new covenant
Yes.
in the blood of Jesus. We need to remember that because that is so vitally important. It will change our entire attitude toward this sacrament. It will actually make our hearts overflow with gratitude for what Christ has accomplished for us. And he said, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Again, why do we participate? In remembrance of Jesus. Well, what did Jesus do through his shed blood? He ratified this new covenant. He ushered us in. And it's in this new covenant in which we live today. Well, what does this new covenant teach us? Well, it teaches us this, that God will remember our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. We are bound together as one because we are fellow members of the body of Christ. The Spirit of God has placed each and every one of us. We rejoice together because we walk in this new covenant. We walk in the forgiveness that God has provided. That's why we celebrate. That's why we can enter into this service with joy in our hearts. We can raise this cup. We can drink together, rejoicing, resting in the finished work of Christ. So finished that God remembers our sins no more.
Yeah.
That's a demonstration of the love of God that just changes everything. So this weekend, when you participate in the Lord's Supper, remember, you're a part of the body. You belong because Christ has placed you there. You belong to Christ. You belong to those that you will be participating with. Praise God for that. When you lift up the cup and when you drink of that juice, remember, Christ has taken away your sins once and for all. And rejoice. It's the greatest news ever. And when you do that, the Lord's Supper will have its full meaning
Yes.
in you.
Friends, I want to remind you also that when you give through Basic Gospel, you are helping to keep the good news on the air, and you've heard good news today. And as you make your gift this month, we want to say thank you for your participation and your partnership with a special gift. All the resources we offer at Basic Gospel are intended to benefit you, and because of your support, others can hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, there's no better time than this Resurrection Day, this Holy Week, as some call it, to support this good news. If you can help with a special gift at this time, just click the link on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net, or phone 844-322-2742. That number available 24 hours daily, 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us for this special edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us tomorrow for our Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.